there in the book of Revelation, you know, John, you know, he's crying, you know, who can open the book, you know, and one of the elders, you know, come to him and say, hey, there's one worthy here to do it. And, you know, it's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But on it goes on down, and it focuses on the blood. Mm-hmm. He said the reason everybody's here is because of the blood. You know, in a communion, the broken bodies for our healing. But the blood, you know, it's for forgiveness of sins, and that's why everybody's in heaven, because they've been forgiven of their sins. Amen.
And it had to be a man, though. See, I always wondered, the question I always had to God, you were sitting right there, and aren't you worthy to open up that book? But no, it had to be a man, not only to be worthy, but also to shed his blood. It couldn't be God.
That's good.
He had to take it, obey his own rules, because he's the just judge.
I'm glad you said that. Anybody ever heard of Ron White?
Oh, yeah.
Ron White.
Archaeologist.
Yeah, but 1982 went to Israel and claims to have found the Holy of Holies right under where Jesus was crucified.
7 feet.
And, you know, during the earthquake, the Bible says when Jesus was crucified, an earthquake happened. And how many of y'all know during earthquakes, the earth can open up, can't it? Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, the blood and the water flew. And I have a tendency to think, well, I'm not going to tell it here, man, but what he was saying is true. Some people say he's lying. But anyway, when he found the Ark of the Covenant there on the mercy seat, he found some blood. So he took this blood, it's dry blood, and he got to asking around. This was back in the 80s, you know, when genetics and all that were just coming about. He says, I want to carry this blood to the best people in Israel and give them to test that blood.
He didn't tell them who it was either, where he got it.
So they told him who to go to, and he goes to them, and he asked them, can y'all test this blood?
That's what you're doing.
And they said, sure. They said, what we will do with dry blood, is considered dead blood, we will put it in a saline solution and spin it slowly for 72 hours. So they did that, and he comes back, and they told him, guess what? This is human blood. I mean, y'all know the mercy seats, you know, animal blood had been shed on mm-hmm. this past, but human blood
yes, sir.
On the mercy seat. So anyway, Ron asked him, he says, is there any more additional tests we can do this blood? They said, well, there is another test, but this blood will not pass the test because it's considered dead blood. You know, it's dry. And he says, y'all do the test. I told him, it ain't going to work. We're telling you ahead, it ain't going to work because it's dead blood. Well, he said, I won't be here in 48, if the test would take an additional 48 hours. He says, I want to be here personally when y'all do it. So anyway, they called him in, and one of the scientists, you know, was looking in this vein, and these guys were talking Hebrew. And this guy jumped back, and he called his buddy there, you know. Mm-hmm. And he looks at it. He jumps back, you know. So they go get the boss man. Boss man come in there. They're all talking Hebrew. They're ungodly men. And anyway, you know, the boss man says, whose blood is this? Mm-hmm. Now, there's some chromosomes. There's 23 chromosomes. Anyway, a man has a total of 46 chromosomes. Mm-hmm. 23 from your mama, mm-hmm. 23 from your daddy. Mm-hmm. The 23rd chromosome mm-hmm. in a woman looks something like this, XX. And in a man, it's XY. Mm-hmm. Well, a man determines the gender of a child. Mm-hmm. And it's all in this 23rd chromosome. You mm-hmm. understand me?
Yep.
If you want to throw a girl, XX. If you want to throw a boy, it's YX. and Father determines that in that. Anyway, you know, the prophecy, Isaiah says, what a child is born, a son is given. Y'all remember that Isaiah there? Well, they tested this, and they come up with 23 chromosomes from the mama. You know, Ray gives us a picture, you know, what they thought Jesus might look like. But Jesus pretty much looked a whole lot like his mama. The reason being, there was only one chromosome from the father. His blood had 24 chromosomes. That's why these guys asked, where did you get this blood? And he told them, that's the blood of your Messiah. And then they just found.
And he was still alive.
And it was, the blood was alive.
Thank you. It came back.
And gone from dead to live blood. But my point being,
Who did this test, David?
Some Israeli.
He says the three different ones.
So you would think that the Jewish people, after hearing about that,
they came and confiscated all this stuff.
Well, they wanted to cut
Jesus, you know.
They came and confiscated all of it.
They covered
the veil over their eyes. They have.
But you heard what the angel told him, though. The angel told him that this is not for now. This is for later.
Yes,
sir. You know.
Now, I want to read something. You know, little Jim taught us a word the last couple of weeks, mishmash. Y'all remember that word? Terry Stone says that word also means judgment. So where we get study something enough to where you can make a judgment or you can make a decision on it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Mishmash, judgment. So, let me read you this. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, and being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, conceived means to make pregnant, in her is of the Holy Ghost. So, I'm going to leave that at that. And, you know, we disagree on things and be agreeable, but I just thought that needed to be brought to the light. Amen.
Have you ever seen his testimony whenever he was given that and how much he cried? Because, you know, he is just, he was so humbled by what he has witnessed, you know, because it's an incredible thing. And when that happened, the place where he went underneath the temple, right there at the mount, they concreted that whole thing up to where nobody else can go in there, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant is.
Wow.
Well,
that's real interesting.
That's
David, that was very, very interesting. Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for a fresh anointing this morning.
Yes, Lord.
To minister today as we go forward. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, everybody. Hey, y'all. I wanted to read a poem this morning because me and Sister Mary talked about, you know, whenever I get the time to just come up and maybe read something encouraging. And this poem that I wrote is called Jesus Went Through It First. And just a little short encouragement I want to say before I read it is, you know, sometimes in life when we go through our trials and difficulties, we as humans can be tempted to say, why me? Lord, this is just horrible, you know, and it's just like, and then they, you know, the word says to rejoice. we face many different trials and ask it to be happy. And for some people, that may become like, what? Like, why would I be happy during all this, you know, crazy stuff going on? But it's because our trials, they bring patience and perseverance. And I just know one thing that always helps me when I'm going through a trial is, like, I just remember what Jesus went through. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus was crucified, died that horrible death. And it's like, no, we're never going to face nothing as bad as that, as he went through, to be innocent like that and just, you know, slain. So I wrote this poem, and hopefully I hope it blesses you.
Amen.
Okay, it says, how can you say that hurts when someone who was perfect skin was ripped off of their body? How can you say that ain't fair when someone who was completely innocent died a criminal's death, slain, a sacrifice for the entire world, and he did it for his holy father because he was asked to, and because he loves us? What is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to go through? The terror, the horror, and yes, the evil, it happened to him first, the one who made all creation, the one who is the ultimate reason for your birth. Live through the pain, live through the hurt, and go hard for the Lord for the eternal price that is worth. And if you're ever tempted to give up during life's difficulties, always remember the one who loves you more than you can ever imagine went through it first.
That's good.
That
it's
was
beautiful.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, well, well done. Praise God. Let's give her another hand.
I've written so many, but that one, and then I read another one probably a couple years back called Knowledge and Wisdom. And I would love to print, if anybody wants a copy, I love to print copies.
Can write those poems and put them in a book.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad you're telling her that.
I need to.
You know, poetry books, you know, in school and stuff like that, but I bet you don't see.
I need to do it.
Praise God. That was really good, Drea. I know that is Drea's outlet. That helps her to get things out of her and to settle things in her. And Drea, I thank you for that one. That's very encouraging. Sometimes we can think about what he's gone through, and it just make us operate better.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is going to be our last lesson on love. But I've certainly enjoyed teaching on love. When we go through the Word of God, it's just all about the love of God in many different ways. It may not say love, but the expression of it is love, because God is love. Not that he's trying to be love. That's who he is. He's love. And we live in a world where they use that word so carelessly until they bring that same carelessness into the church world. And they want to use it and operate it that way, but it cannot be. Because the love that people have out, they can love you today and hate you tomorrow. That's not the kind of love that we have been talking about that has been shed abroad in your heart. Romans 5:5 said the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Shed abroad means you have it in there in abundance. You'll never run out of it. You never come across a situation and say, hey, I don't have love for that. It's down there in you. And you have to renew your mind that you have that kind of love in you. And if you think on that and renew your mind to that, we called it what Colossians called put on love. And you said, Sister Mary, how in the world could he have wrote put on love? You go into your scriptures, what the writer was trying to tell you to do. It's your responsibility to put on love in your soul and in your mind and be transformed there. So when that love that's been shed abroad in your heart is trying to come out, it would have a good flow. It would have no hindrance, no blockage. So it's very important that we come into agreement what the word said, put on love. And sometimes you don't want, flesh don't want you to put on love. It said, no. I mean, you can't live your life that way. People will run over you and this and that, you know. But it's not saying that. It says put on the love that they're trying to get you to put on, the reader, the writer. It's the love of God. Now, we call it agape. I have not said a lot about that because I want you to be more focused on the love that's been shed abroad in your heart. Sometimes we're not focused on that when a situation of a circumstance occurs. We just want to use that love that we've been operating in all our life. You know, that love that says, you know, like I said, we handle love so carelessly. Like we may say we love donuts.
Yum, yum.
Yum, yum. Sometimes we can say we love donuts. Who all love pizza? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a good thing. But see, we use love so carelessly. And when they don't fix the pizza like you like it, you say, I don't think I like pizza anymore. I don't think I want, I'm tired of pizza. I don't care for donuts anymore. See, that's the kind of love we have operated in so long. But we can no longer operate in that love. We got to operate in that love that has been shed where?
Boy,
it's hard. Y'all got that. Woo, Jesus. Some of y'all like, what? But that love that has shed abroad in our heart. Now, the reason we can't operate in that like we should, we hadn't done our responsibility. And what is our responsibility to that? Can anybody tell me?
Getting in the Word.
Yeah. Put love on. Wear it. Put it on. Now you, the Holy Spirit had to shed it abroad in your heart. He could get down there and shed it abroad. But you can put on love just like you put on your clothes. Just like you put on things. Put on love. And you said something so important. Get in the Word. The Word of God consists of love. So much love. So when you come across these situations and circumstances, if you have put on love, guess what? You're going to be prepared. It's not going to take you by surprise. You'll be prepared. You know, some things as we walk in this Christian walk, it takes us by surprise. I didn't see it coming, you know. And we are challenged to not use the character of God of love. But we want to put love on so we can be prepared when we come to situation. See, we got a world that's really what they're looking for is the God kind of love.
Yeah.
They done seen enough of this other kind of love, you know. You love me long as I'm doing something for you. Falling in and out of love, you know. They even sing songs about that. I don't love you anymore, you know, and this and that, and, you know, they have seen enough of that. They're waiting for the God kind of love. And I'm going to tell you, you can go anywhere in this world and love speak that same language. Love. Speak that same language to everybody. So this is what the world is waiting on, love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he knew that was going to be the only way the world was going to respond. is that we show them so much love. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. Now, I'm going to do what I'm finally getting to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. That is where I wanted to go. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. You know, before Paul began talking about love in the 13th chapter, he had talked about so many gifts, and the 12th chapter he was talking about gifts and all these good, great gifts, you know, that the body of Christ can operate in and can have. But at the end of chapter 12, he said, let me show you a more excellent way now. Let me show you a more excellent way. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 12, where he asked to... let me show you a more excellent way. And can anybody imagine what that more excellent way would be?
Love.
Love is that most excellent way, the most excellent gift. Love is a gift that God gives you.
Yeah.
The God kind of, huh?
God is love too.
Yeah, and he gave us that gift of love. And it's been shed abroad in your heart. See, this kind of gift, it works on the inside. It starts on the inside. You know, the other kind of love that we can go and, you know, name all the love, Philly and all this. All that love kind of work on the outside. Somebody may see somebody and say, boy, when I saw her, I knew I loved her. I just felt in love.
Love at first sight.
Love at first sight. You know? Well, that's an outside love. But the inside love, the love of God, we're not talking about the love of man, but the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Shed abroad means what, class? What does shed abroad mean?
Fully supplied.
I like that. It means abundant supply. You'll never run out of the God kind of love. Never run out. I don't care what. It has been shed abroad in your heart. You have a full amount. So let me ask y'all, class, or better than this, I'm not going to even ask you. I'm going to tell you. You should be operating on a full supply of love daily. A full supply of love. But if you hadn't put on love, you know what's going to happen? You're going to operate in the love that you see on the outside. And you're not going to make very good choices. But if you have cooperated with the Holy... See, we got to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has provided us a kingdom. But if we don't know how to... If we don't learn how to operate and work with it, it's not going to do us any good. You know, George Meyer said, most of the time she has to change the titles on her love books because they don't sell. Everything else sell except that. So she had to kind of trick the title a little bit to get them sold. Because people not interested in hearing anything about love. Because you know why? They think they know love. Because they've been operating in what they call the kind of love. That they can like you today and not like you tomorrow. Love, the God kind of love never stops. Loving. Y'all just repeat that. The God kind of love never stops loving. Never stop loving.
It's the strongest thing in the world.
Whoa, I like that.
He'll overcome anything.
Woo! I like that.
I heard somebody say
that's scripture. That's scripture, love.
Yeah, I love her. I love
her. Uh-huh.
Then it said, too, I know the scripture said when you, if you love God, if you love your neighbor, then you're doing the whole, like, that's the greatest thing you can do. You'll be right, you know. It was something that I forgot that passage when he was talking
about. Okay, we've talked a whole lot about love. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the scripture, you know, where you said love your neighbor as yourself. Then he gave you another, when he was doing communion with his disciple, he said, a new commandment I give you. It's no more love you as your neighbor.
Because he was quoting the law, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
But see, your kind of love, it doesn't stand the test of time. Like she was saying, it's not the most powerful thing out there. It's not, because it'll fail.
God loves.
When you said that, I've listened on his website several times, because that's the best explanation out of 20 years me hearing all kinds of teachings about it. It's the best that what you gave that day.
When they was doing communion, and he told them, he said, "Now a new love I give you. Love your neighbor as yourself. But love your neighbor as I have loved you."
That blows me.
Because see, he was providing you with the love. You can't say, well, I can't do that. Some of the things he's saying, this word about love, people say, I don't know if I can do that. I don't. With his love, he has provided. They keep forgetting. You've been provided with that love. Romans 5:5 said what? The love of God has been shed. The love of God. Not your own kind of love. But the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. By who? The Holy Spirit. And he certainly has provided you with a good supply of that love. And what is your responsibility to that? What is your response? Putting on love. You're getting in the Word of God. You're putting it on. You're changing your mind. Where you used to just say, I'm going to do what they do to me. But if you put that in your mind, that new love in your mind, and transform that mind, when those situations and those circumstances come up, you'll handle it different. You'll handle it like God would smile on it. He'll say, she's learning love. She's walking in love. You know, we started this lesson from two prophets that had an encounter with God. And one of the prophets, God asked him, what have you done with the love of God that has... What have the people of God done with the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart? What have you done? And then the other one, when he had an encounter with God, he said, you know what he said? Did you learn how to love? And he thought God was going to give him something really, you know, big, you know, really show him something. And he asked him, did you learn how to love? And he said, I finally realized love is just really important to God. Because if we can operate in love, we'll be operating in the most highest, the highest force there is. And he said, now this is your ID badge. He said, all men gonna know that you are my disciple. Not Christians, but disciples. It's the love you have for who? One another. He said, you're going to know that you are my disciples. You know, everybody claimed to be a Christian. I mean, Hollywood, like I told you, that, hey, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. But all of them can't say that they are disciples. The learned one, the ones that have took time and just really been discipled by God's word. The disciples walk a different way. Their walk is just different. They're a little bit more disciplined. Oh, it's how I hadn't even gotten into the, and my time is up. Okay, but I am going to read it. Yeah, give me 3 minutes, and I'm going to, I can't because I want to teach next week. And if I go over time, then I can't teach next week.
This is just as important as the blood you got there. You know that, right?
This is what now?
This is just as important as teaching on the blood.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because that's the reason the blood came, because he so loved the world.
Amen.
Gave his only begotten son. Not that he had a couple of them, but he got more sons once he gave.